Now, Brother Josh preached a message on regarding the new year, and it's just always so appropriate when you turn the calendar over and you're in the new year that you set some goals, you set perspectives on a new year. It's a good feeling because you're turning over the leaf. Amen. I mean, you can call me the eternal optimist, but I always look for each day, each week, each month with great delight. Another year, man. Thank you, Jesus. And I think we ought to be optimistic. My goodness, you're a child of God. You're going to heaven. There's nothing better than that. That's eternal. And you get to live for Him in a way that pleases Him in your life. And so this new year is presented to us. And it cleans the slate, you know, where you messed up this year. Now, some of you probably didn't mess up. But for the rest of us, would you keep us in prayer? Thank God for the new slate. The page has been turned. We learn. We trust we've learned from our mistakes. May God give us the focus, the direction, the desire, the will, the fortitude to carry on to do what He's called us to do in this new year, 2023. May God, when the Lord Jesus returns, when He returns to snatch His bride away, may He find us faithful. Amen? Many scoffers jeer at the notion, and they say, so where is He? Peter noted that. Where is He? So they're scoffing, you know. You keep saying He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. But brothers and sisters in Christ, be sure of this very truth, that at no time in history has the imminent return of Christ been so near as now. It's at the doorstep. And mark it down, He's coming. We talked to Sunday school about a word, or did a lesson on Mark 13 about this word watching. Because He said, I'm coming, of the day and hour knoweth no man, but I'm coming. I want you to be ready. We use an illustration about, you know, you got somebody coming over to visit at your home. I mean, what do? You clean the house. You make appropriate things so that it'd be a pleasant visit. Jesus said, I'm coming. Watch ye therefore, for you know not what day, the day and the hour. So this year, 2023, He may come this year. And I want to be ready. Revelation 22:20 says, He, this is Jesus, He which testifieth these things, saying, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Is that your attitude? You want Him to come quickly? Or would you say, if you knew He was going to come, He said, I'm coming this month. Oh, dear Jesus, come on the 30th. Come on the 31st. But don't come on the 8th. Don't come on the 9th. He said He's coming. So be ready. What to be ready? 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this very thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's an amazing concept, but it isn't to God. That being employed, it's been roughly 2 days since Jesus left. Amen? Are you with me? All right. First of all, Philippians chapter 3. You got to leave the past behind. Now, I kidded about this, but every one of us had failures. We failed the Lord in certain ways this year. We could have done better. And so the devil would have you to camp there. They say, look, you mess up every year, for goodness sakes. Don't get serious now. Don't make some resolution. You're going to blow it within a month. That's what the devil's telling you. Don't get all serious about God and the Bible and the house of God and godly things. I mean, things are okay. You've been good. It's been sweet. Philippians chapter 3. And notice what Paul said, verses 13 and 14. But brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Leave the stuff behind you. Okay? You messed up. I know it. I'm one of you. Thank God for the forgiveness of sins. And a merciful God, like any father, would help his kid back up. Dust them off. All right, let's go. You can do this. 2023 is your gift from God. It's a gift. We're to use it for Him. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outdo God. Do it for Him. So you got to put the past behind. Then consider the prospect of each day presenting us with a new leaf, with new opportunities, and the fact that Christ could return anytime. We should resolve to give Christ our best in 2023. Don't coast. If you've been coasting, stop coasting. Take your hand off the cruise control button. Don't settle for the mediocre. That's what the devil wants you to do. Mediocre is defined as of moderate or low quality, low value, low ability, low performance. The ordinary, the so-so. And our humanity wants that because it's easier. We want to coast. We think if we just do the essentials, because after all, we used to do this and that. We did all these wonderful things for God. Don't look back at your failures and camp there. Well, don't look back at your successes and camp there either. One will deflate you and the other one will inflate you. Now you look at the opportunities God's given you. What His expectations are. What you could do for them, for Him in this coming year, 2023. Not settle for the mediocre. Do more this year. You say, but if I do a lot this year, then, gee, I'll be sort of committed to do it again the next year. You may not have the next year. You do the best you can now. And God will bless you. He'll equip you. Oh, you'll do 20 times as much the next year. Calls for decision making. A little evaluation. Looking at what I did or did not do last year. And say, well, all right. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me this year. 2023. It's a gift of God. What areas of the Christian life are we talking about? Well, let's check it out in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, one of the verses that Pastor Tom read, and that'll be our text this morning. I'm so tempted to say, you know, I'll be brief, but every time I've done it, I've lied, so I'm not going to say it. I've made a new resolve in this year, never to lie. I goofed again. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. What a great verse. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. All right, who's that written to? Well, it's written to Timothy. Paul to Timothy. Two men talking, writing. But it's written to God, to you. He's telling you and I to be an example. Now, we're not going to focus on the past, but were we a good example? This area, that area, and this area. Were we good examples to be followed? Would somebody in their Christian life be growing and maturing if they followed our lead last year? Maybe not. But I got this year. I don't worry about last year. And by the way, God's not worried about last year. If you got failures, you put them under the blood. God, forgive me, I was a mess. I was lazy. I was this, I was that, I was this, I was that. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you. Wow. I don't have to be embarrassed. I have to walk in shame. Because my past behind. I'm pressing towards the mark now. And the vision is bright. 2023 is full of opportunities. So in this verse, we see there's six listings here. Be an example in word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. I want to review these. I think they're great. But here's the motto that we apply every one of these to. I'm going to give my best for Jesus in 2023. My best. Not my mediocre. Not only what will supply will do enough. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give him my best in 2023. You will never regret that. The devil will tell you, you'll regret that because when you're going to fail, yes, you're going to fail sometimes. You're not Jesus. He's the only one that doesn't fail. But you purpose in your heart to give him your best. And he'll equip you, and you'll find yourself doing some things and accomplishing some things you never thought you could. Your faithfulness alone. Give God the glory for that. It's not because you have such a great personal discipline. God made you who you are and gave you what you got. Give him the glory. May God find us faithful. May he make us faithful. So we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've accomplished in me and me. Wow. You did that. That's maturity. Humility is a sign of maturity. Opportunities abound. So I give my best for Jesus in 2023. And we'll review each of these six areas quickly this morning. Be a help, a guide, a thought for this coming year. Number one, he says in word, what we say. Your mouth. That'd be a good place to start with for the year. Any failures last year? Any gossiping? Chewing up on people? Hard words, harsh words, wounding words, ungodly words. That's not Jesus. Jesus is kind, loving. I'm going to make that resolve. I'm going to give you my best from my mouth this year, Lord. The words that come out of here are going to be different. That's a good resolve. What we say. This would include what we say, how we say it, and the words we use to express it. It also includes the motive behind it and the truthfulness of it in its entirety. Not these, what we call half lies, half truths. There's no such thing. That's the devil's ploy, half truths. No half truths. There's a bit of lie, a bit of deception in it, then the whole thing's a lie. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Use good words, kind words, sweet words, loving words, forgiving words. In other words, talk like Jesus. It'll change your relationships. Don't talk from a perch down to your wife. You idiot. She's a treasure. Treat her like a queen. Wives, honor your husbands. Lift them up. Children are making their assessments of mom and dad much by what mom or dad says about mom or dad. Help them. Words, thinking before saying, may our words glorify God and be encouragement to people. Godly. Watch what you say. Someone's always listening, not to mention the Lord. Matthew 12:36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Every means every word. Idle, the flippant words, the ones we're not careful about. 2023, pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. The words, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what God's looking for. Make that resolve. Benjamin Franklin said, none preaches better than the ant, and she says nothing. Oh, maybe I'd be better served this year not to let as many words out of my mouth. Maybe therein lies all the problem. Too many words are flying out all the time, too many idle words. Whatever comes to mind comes out the mouth without any thought of who's within earshot, whom it might hurt, offend. this area of speech, what we say, it matters to God. In Proverbs 17, I'm going to read you a couple of verses, 27 and 28. It says, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words." He's a smart, shuts his mouth. "And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise." Rather than blurt out everything else that proves he's not. "And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Wow. Excellent spirit, man of understanding, counted wise, esteemed a man of understanding. If he does what? Spareth his words, holdeth his peace, shutteth his lips. God, as I approach 2023, help me with my mouth. Give me wisdom. May I use this tongue to glorify you and to encourage and be a blessing to people. That's a good resolve. I'm going to be a better husband, better father, better grandfather, better great-grandfather. Better neighbor. I'm going to think before I speak. It's not about me declaring my righteousness or my intelligence or my this, that, whatever. I'm going to consider the others. May God use you, use me. I'm going to use my word for sharing the gospel with somebody. Word, what we say. He says, be an example in word. Be an example in conversation. No, that's not to be redundant. The old English word, conversation, while it would include word, it's not limited to conversation. We talk about today the word. It speaks of lifestyle, your behavior. So it comes out of here and how we live. Be an example. Should my kids follow me this year? Was I good to be followed last year? What I did, where I went, was important to me, my lifestyle, my behaviors. Well, maybe not so much. But I got this year. I have 2023 to live for God and live before others like I love God. Be an example. We should always be involved in right living. We'll be known by it. It forms our testimony. Do you have it? What's your testimony? This would include honesty, integrity, compassion. Is this your testimony? These are likable things. People like these things when you see it in others. Be that guy. Be that gal. Live that way. Our lifestyle or behavior also includes our work ethic. We're not to be lazy Christians. And that includes every aspect of our Christianity, including the Bible time. We can be lazy here. We could be lazy here. We think we give 5 minutes here, 3 minutes here. We've killed the big one. I'm not saying that any particular amount of time establishes a mature Christian who's walking with God. But the quality of it matters. Don't be lazy in your Bible, lazy in your praying. Lazy, always looking for the easy way out. But that one that says yes, yes, yes. You know, in every church, pastors, we chat. We don't gossip. We try to help one another. Inevitably, in every church, there are those that when asked will say, yes, 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 before a pastor ever asks. And there are those always coming towards me. It's humanity. I would, but God help us all. have an attitude that's not lazy, that says, I am looking for an opportunity to serve God. Yes. Yes. What do you need? What do you want me to do? Some of the most big blessings pastors are provided with. And I'm not saying I need a new list of people to do that for me. It just comes to mind as an example of an attitude, of a willingness that God is looking for, that God is pleased with, and he gets glory out of. How you live. You know, we're told in Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. I mean, he's telling us to learn from a bug. Look at them. They're just busy. No one thinks they're more important than the other than the queen. I won't go there. But they all have their job. They work together. It's wonderful. He says, go to the ant. Look, learn. Stay with it. Be busy. This year, be busy for God. Let's just give Jesus our very best. Would it be an example of word, conversation? And it says charity. Charity, that's love. Compassion. Perhaps we've grown cold. Maybe 22 is a cold year. You know, the pandemic thing. It made a lot of people cold. Protective. Isolationist. You know. Well, you're not the most important thing. And it's not about you and just your couple or your fam. It's not changed for God. Open up, man. Charity and compassion isn't just for those nearby that have relation. It's for everybody. In fact, Jesus went about town to town to town looking for others. 1 Corinthians 13, turn there, because I think it's a good portion of Scripture when it comes to this idea of compassion, of charity, of loving. Notice verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So in other words, great orator, and have not charity. I have no love. I'm not a compassionate man. But I got a good mouth. I got a good tongue. And I can orate. See? Well, it says here, I'm become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Yeah, something's come out of your mouth, but it's just noise. That's what he's saying. If you have no compassion, it's not real. It's not from here. Okay, what you say, it may be admirable. People may stand in awe. Your great wisdom and intellect and all these. You may talk of lofty things of God. But if there's no heart, there's no compassion, then you're just making noise. That's what he's saying. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. You know, the check boxes of being a great Christian. Man, strong faith and has knowledge, biblical knowledge, deep theology. Man, I can have all these things, but if I have not love and charity, I'm nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, then have not charity. Oh, so I must mean I did it for the wrong motive. It profiteth me nothing. So I am noise, I am nothing, I profit nothing. If I'm not a loving person, if I'm not truly compassionate, if I become so hard or so selfish. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. You put up with hurt, pain, suffering, is kind. Charity envieth not, doesn't look to have more than the other. Charity vaunteth not itself, it's never ego. It is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, just the eternal optimist in God. Endureth all things, charity never faileth. And that's the point to be made, I believe. And it says to be an example in charity. Be that person. Gee, I wish I was more like him. I wish I was more like her. They're just so always caring about others. They really care. Help me, God, have your heart. Maybe last year it wasn't so. It's more selfish. I think I developed maybe during the pandemic. They seem to be focused on me. Help me this year to look around and to love and demonstrate the love of God. You know, Luke chapter 10, I won't go there, but the Good Samaritan, he had a testimony, didn't he, of compassion? Why? Because he said, hey, you know what I did? You know what I did? I forked out some money too, but I gave the guy a ride. I helped him. He's hurt. I brought him to the inn. And is that what is recorded? No, he didn't do anything that was selfish. It was selfless. We don't even have a name. We're told what he did. He had a testimony. Had no name, but he had a testimony. God, make me like him. You know, when nobody else is looking, caring, compassionate, I don't have to be seen, patted on the back. I just want to. Because Jesus went about doing good. He went about healing. He had a heart. He looked on the multitude and had compassion on them. Make me like that this year, Lord. Would it be examples in word, conversation, in charity, in spirit? Spirit. No. That's your attitude, your demeanor. Do people see Jesus in you? Are you kind? Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one toward another. Tenderhearted. See? Are you sweet or sour? Do people consider you a grump? Or would you say that you're a people person? That you're lighthearted, fun to be around. You enjoy life. You enjoy God. And you enjoy people. Jesus enjoyed people. Are you a people enjoyer? You know, this isn't what's pictured in the Bible as the perfect Christian. I don't sin. I don't lie. Yeah, you don't have fun either. Do you think Jesus ever joked with the disciples? Absolutely. Can you imagine the wit and the pun that Jesus could. I mean, you had to be around him. You wanted to. Not because you're witty, but because your spirit was always so accepting and kind. You didn't feel like you're being judged or critiqued. They just, you know, people, they feel like you're loved. They're loved by you. People around Jesus, they felt like they were loved. They were appreciated. Part of that is being humble. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. All the fusses that go around. People shooting themselves, shooting each other. Contentions. Contentions in the church should never be. Perfect agreement? Never. Well, I'll say never, but perfect agreement isn't among a bunch of human beings. But there can be contentment, sweetness, and love without contention. The Bible tells us how. Being humble is a big part. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you subject yourselves one to another, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. That's a good piece of clothing to wear, that you're humble. That's very approachable. See? We got to move on now. I got two more. Faith. Faith. Be an example of faith. Your belief in God, his word. Do you live as though God's word is true? Do you pray as if it's true? Is there a peace and a confidence that is seen in you because you believe God? Kids need to see that. Oh, no. Oh, no. What are we going to do now? We're going to do no, no. What are we going to do, Dad? What are you going to do, Mom? I'm getting nervous and scared. You know? Don't worry, son. God's got this. Let's go to prayer. They got to see faith in us. We're to be an example. See? Now, we're reward is not an example of faith. The sky is not falling. And if it did, God's got this. Really, he'll put you under an overpass. Don't worry. The overpass is falling. Good time for the rapture. Henry Ward Beecher said, if you want your neighbor to see what Christ will do for him, let him see what Christ has done for you. Where are you going? Going to church. Can I go? Where are you going? Church. You want to come? I think I do. You believe God's got something for him at the house of God. I mean, people get saved here. People get encouraged here. Do you believe that? Faith. God is alive and well. 2023 is a wonderful gift God gives us, and he's looking with great expectation of his children to mature. All right, one more, purity. Purity, cleanness of mind, body, and soul. We're told in 1 Timothy 5:22, neither be partaker of other man's sins, keep thyself pure. Just because others are doing it doesn't mean it's good. How many times has your parents said that to you? Yeah. Or we say that to our kids? My mother, if he jumps off a bridge, you're going to go jump off too. How many have heard that very phrase? I like bridge jumping. It was fun. My kids went bridge jumping. They told me about it after. I told my parents after. Keep thyself pure. Don't do what others do. Is this right in the eyes of God? Then I'll do it. If it's not, don't do it. Don't care what others say. It matters to God. Our lifestyle should reflect holiness, purity. It should reflect Christ. Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus? I can see Jesus jumping off a bridge. For the fun, man, in the hot summer. Just a perfect dive. One of my sons, I say one that way, I don't have to pin any one of them. He didn't jump off the bridge, he climbed the structure over it. I've seen him do it. I wouldn't do it. Now what the... Paul Roach would. You're just as crazy. By the way, tonight, special prayer after the service for Paul, leaving for Gambia on Tuesday. Keep him in prayer for a couple weeks. He'll be there laboring for Jesus in a foreign country, doing some missionary work. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful opportunity. 1 Peter 1, getting ready to close. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16 says this. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. You know what former means? Before 2022 and beyond. Don't fashion yourself to that. In other words, change in your ignorance. See? But as he which has called you to be is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, of lifestyle, of behavior. Be holy in all manner. May you be holy in all your endeavors this coming year. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Purity, be an example of purity. Keep yourself clean and bright. You are the window through which the world sees God. As long as the brethren aren't looking. No, there's a whole world looking. You represent Christ. Keep your life clean and bright like a window. They see something different in you. Your conversation. You don't get into those jokes. You're careful. Represent Jesus. Positive, encouraging. He's different. So much of the conversation today regarding, like always, the news is always so negative. There's so much negativity that becomes the only conversation. So the conversation's done. Everybody goes home, what, encouraged? No. Good job. Encourage. Be an encourager. Be clean. Be holy. You're a window. Watch what you say, what you do, where you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. What's that mean? Anything that might look evil. An appearance of evil. It didn't say here, in this particular verse, abstain from all evil. There's plenty of places in the Bible that tells that. It says abstain from all appearance of evil. If it would give a hint to others that something that's not a little off color isn't that we do that. Stay away from it. Why? It'll hurt your testimony. It takes away from you and takes away from your God in the eyes of others. So let's close it up. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Here's some good areas to work on. Amen. God, in these areas, some of the areas I weren't so bad, God, but some of those areas, oh man, thank you that's behind me. And you've given me a fresh new year, new leaf, like a new blanket of snow. Amen. When that snow fell, wasn't it all pretty? And it covered all the filth, all the dirt. That's God making you white as snow. And now you've got 2023. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If I was to walk away from this service, trying to remember something, this is what I would remember. A motto to live by in 2023. I will give my best for Jesus in 2023. I've had failures in 22, maybe 21, 20. Maybe I can't point to any particular year in the past that was really notable. But I know this much. I got 2023 ahead of me. I'm going to make a resolve. I'm going to be a different Christian. I'm going to hand out a few of them John Romans. I'm going to hand out some tracts. I'm going to talk with people. I'm going to delight in my God. And when I spend more time and good quality time in the Word of God and in prayer, I'm fueled to do that very thing. Oh, this year's going to be different. It's going to be different. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit making it personal.